Amen. Help me welcome Dennis Gaxiola. Come on.
Thank you. Love you too. Give it up for Bishop. The bishop is in the house. Good morning. This is a livelier crowd than the first service. First service needed coffee. You guys had your coffee. It's good to be here. But Earth, Wind, and Fire was amazing. I've opened up for them four or five times. So as an entertainer, to be able to open up for your favorite group of all time. And then my tío, they gave me seats, center stage, fifth row. But my uncle loves music. He's doing some stuff here with you, Manuel Ochoa. So I said, no, I got one better for you. You're coming backstage with me. And we sat there in the green room and we're eating, and they have like the full course meal. I'm like, Theo, look over there. You're having dinner right next to Earth, Wind, and Fire. And, you know, the bass player that jumps the whole time, he's sitting there cutting his steak. I'm cutting my steak like him. I was trying to get a little rhythm with me, but it was amazing. And the best thing about it is because I have people that judge where I go, but you didn't ordain my steps. So when you judge me, I just go like that. You weren't backstage holding hands with Earth, Wind, and Fire praying to the Lord Jesus, because half that band is born again. And don't ever let somebody judge your steps. Amen. I got to do jokes because that's what I'm here for, but I just feel like preaching right now. You didn't set my destiny, so how do you judge my steps? Don't ever let anybody judge your journey, all right? Unless their name is Jesus and not my cousin Jesus that married. I'll talk about Jesus Christ, the Messiah. Unless he's telling you something different, never let anybody judge your steps. Amen. I don't understand my journey, so I don't expect you to understand my journey. But all I know is that, man, what a plan God had. Amen. We have lived through the craziest time of our life. Young people, this isn't normal. Every generation doesn't go through this. You know, we have done things that we will never do again. I remember when the pandemic hit, everything shut down, and it was Easter. And our pastor, they weren't ready to have our communion to hand out to everybody. So the pastor sent out a message, use whatever you got at home for communion. I don't think I will ever take communion again from a NyQuil shot glass with prune juice and a flaming hot Cheeto for the body. That's all I had. Been at home. By May, I had 27 events, services and events, 27. There was a handful of days with double services or double events, from six shows for the Air Force, six prison ministry shows, six shows with Fluffy, headlining a weekend at a comedy club, speaking at a couple of churches. And my wife was like, how are you going to do this? I said, I'll sleep in June. And then the pandemic hit. Everything got wiped out. But look, you know, if this season, I was talking with Bishop in between services, if you haven't grown closer to God, what were you doing? Some people want to, you know, they want to say, oh, this is like the flu. I have never had 70 friends that said they had the flu. I've known about 70 people, including a few that passed, that have had, it's serious, but we have wisdom. That's why everybody's wearing masks. And by the way, to all my sisters, when you're during the week, all of you look beautiful. It's Valentine's Day. But during the week, when you go to the grocery store and you put your mask on, put your eyebrows on. You're scaring us, okay? You look like ninja cholos out there with the... No eyebrows. We need to know if, because the eyebrows, they, I remember my mom and dad got into it one time, and it was early in the morning, and my mom didn't have her eyebrows on, and my dad didn't know she was that mad. You know, there was nothing to let him know that the eyebrow was up. It was like a rattlesnake without a rattler. He didn't know he was about to lose. Wives, be kind to your husbands. Let us win. We know you're right. All right? My wife is my better half, and every once in a while, she'll let me win. But I've learned to listen to my wife. Because usually when she speaks, if you know my testimony, we were married, we were divorced, and we were remarried, and God has restored us. And when we first got back together, oh, you give Lord a round of applause for that. I was like, I'm right. And then she would be like, okay. See, and let your husband win. And not when you know he's wrong. Like you're driving and he's about to make a wrong turn. And you know he should turn right, but he's turning left. And you're like, go ahead, Columbus. No, I learned a valuable lesson. I've gotten involved with prison ministry, prison fellowship. They put me on their national roster to go around the country to prisons sharing the gospel. And I was going to Vacaville to the medical facility, and they gave me a black polo, and it says Prison Fellowship Ministries. And the only thing they said was no blue jeans. That's what the inmates wear. So I'm up early. And I'm getting dressed, and my wife said, why are you wearing blue jeans? I said, they're black. She said, they're blue. And I said, they're black. She said, they're blue. And I said, they're black. My sister bought them. I know when she gave them to me, they're black. They're just a little faded, because that's cool. She said, okay, Columbus. I get to the prison, and the team is there. The ministry team is there, and the guard stops me and says, can I help you? I said, yes, I'm here with Prison Fellowship. And the Prison Fellowship team was like, oh, he's here with us. He's our speaker. And she said, not today. He's wearing blue jeans. And I looked down, and the light was good. And I was like, she was right. So I listened to her now. Give it up. I was giving it up to, early in the first service. I was greeting everybody, you know, the bishop, all the ministers, the pastors, the deacons, the ushers, the parking lot attendants. And I got all the way to the worship team, incredible worship. And then I got over to the flag ladies. Give it up to the flag ladies. I mean, they. I was checking my pulse because I was trying to keep up with them. And I was like, oh, my heart's racing too much because they are in shape. I told Bishop earlier, I said, you can consolidate and you can take the parking lot attendants and replace them with the flag ladies, and then they can park everybody, and then when the service starts, get in here, and you can. They need one on the corner by the light, by the way, because I stayed at the hotel, and then I was coming to the church, and I was in the inner lane. I didn't realize I needed to be in the second lane to turn on button. If they had the flag lady out there, she could have been. Because I got forced on the freeway, and I drove right past the church, and I was like, hello. My son is at home doing school on Zoom. How many people have kids doing Zoom school? And 11 years old, fifth grade, and the teacher had a special parent-teacher conference one-on-one with me. She said, your son is struggling. You need to help him. I said, I can't. And she said, why? I said, because I know math. I don't know what you're teaching him. I know arithmetic. And the way you're laughing, I thought she would laugh. She didn't laugh. She got mad, and she got close to the camera. She leaned in. All I saw was, like, her face, and her eyebrows were up. She had them on, ladies. And I knew when she got close, I could see the brow was up, and I knew she was serious. And she said, you are in charge, Mr. Gaxiola. You are in charge of your son's education. Later that day, little Jacob graduated from the fifth grade all the way to junior college. I said, you're done, son. I'm in charge. You can't count, but you are a graduate. A lot of comedians get up and they talk, and you're expected to follow. Like music, they got titles up there, and you know what song they're going to sing. We're about to sing The Blessing, and then you know it's The Blessing. I talk and hope you follow, but but I want to start a new trend in comedy. I want to give my jokes titles. That way you know where I'm going with my joke. One of my comedy brothers, and we've been friends for almost 30 years, Jeff Williams and Portia, I got give them a round of applause. I got to marry them a couple years back. And Jeff, have you ever seen anybody give their jokes titles before they give the joke? This is new. I'm working it at CWC. This next joke is called Amateur Father. Back in October, when they were doing all the politics, I got a phone call, and it was a survey, and the lady said, are you pro-choice? And I said, well, I have 6 kids, but nobody paid me, so I think I'm still an amateur. That's amateur father, thank you. This next joke is called My Grandfather is Deep. I get my political views from my grandfather, a very wise old man from Torreon, Mexico. I went up to my grandpa one day and said, Grandpa, what do you think about a woman's right to choose? He said, Mijo, everyone should wear shoes. See, I told you he's deep. This next joke is called My Mom is Slick. My mom would testify that she did not gossip, but she let everybody know your business through prayer requests. Slick, I tell you that, slick. I wouldn't even visit the church where my dad pastored. Last time I went, as soon as I walked in, we're going to pray for Dennis. You know he can't afford that child support. She's slick. This next joke is called Gotcha First. I recently had an appointment with my optometrist, and right before I sat down, I poked him in the eye. I said, Gotcha First. That's a good joke, but the younger people got the new equipment, and they don't get poked in the eye as hard as when we used to. Like, and it would, okay, I'm going to rework that joke. That one didn't go as good. This next joke is called A Lot of Faith. Every culture could talk about how tough it was when they came to America. This is the land of immigrants. Every culture, whatever the new people were, they went through it. They were given a hard time. So every culture has a story, but no culture has more faith than a Mexican, and I can prove it. Only a Mexican will wake up early, get dressed for work, pack a lunch, and not have a job. That's a lot of faith, man. That joke was brought to you by Home Depot. My joke's got titles and sponsors. Anybody ever hire a day laborer? I did, because I moved. So what had happened was I moved from Sacramento to the Bay Area. My buddies in Sacramento helped me and my son load up the truck, had a U-Haul. I was doing one trip, the biggest U-Haul I could rent. And my nephews were going to meet me in the Bay Area and help me offload the truck. I get there. I drove the U-Haul. My son drove my car. We get there, and my nephews flaked on me. So now it's just me and my son. There was no way we could offload the whole truck. I said, stay here. I'll be back. I got in the car. I went to Home Depot, and I picked up 3 day laborers. I'm only 5'7". I was the biggest man in the car. We got to the house. We looked like 4 Oompa Loompas getting out the car. And my son was mad. He was like, why didn't you get big ones? They were out. God is good. Amen. First service, I messed around so much, and then we got to the point where I wanted to share the word of encouragement, and I ran out of time. So I'm going to, if you want more jokes, Go on YouTube. God has blessed me. My comedy special, Bishop, is approaching 100 million views. 100 million. That has been a blessing. Whatever your job is, whatever the calling on your life is, whatever you do, when you give it to God, watch his favor. Watch his blessing. Because the special had 500,000 views 18 months after its release. It was okay. And I said a prayer. I said, Lord, I need favor. I need favor in my career. I need favor in my calling. And I wrote, after I prayed, I wrote the company and asked them, could you re-release some of the clips? And I shared this with some of you the last time I was here. September 20th of 2018, they re-released a clip. September 20th at 4 o'clock, to be exact. So I'll never forget the message. It said, we just re-released the clip on Facebook. And when you have clips on social media, whether it's Facebook or YouTube, whatever, the counts are on the bottom, how many views. Literally, it was like watching a spinning dial, because an hour later, there was a new million. And an hour later, there was 2 million. An hour later, there was... It went viral around the world. So I see people say viral, I got 100,000. I was like, no, I got 100 million. That's all God. That was God. And it was a good joke. It wasn't the best joke I ever wrote. It was a good joke. And the mystery of God is so simple. When we give him credit and we give him glory, he likes to show off. But if it had been my best joke ever, I'd have been walking around with the bigger, my head is big, I know. I would have walked around with a bigger head because I'd have been, look at Dennis. It was a good joke that God, just one viewing on Facebook has 58 million views. One clip, 58 million. And then the other clips on the other platforms, that's all been God. So I give God the glory for doors that he's opened in my life. The prison ministry has been amazing. At that Vacaville prison, after the service, it's the medical facility. After the service, they brought an older gentleman, African-American gentleman, blind. I'm not talking a little bit blind, fully blind. The stick, the Stevie Wonder glasses, the whole. And they brought him over to me, and they introduced me to him, and they said, he wants to talk to you. And he took his glasses off, and he wiped tears. And he said, I've been in here 37 years. I haven't laughed like that in 37 years. Now I start wiping tears because what a feeling of purpose. To know that God could take me into a prison to bring joy to the captive. And to share his word to the captive. I want to tell you something about prison ministry. The brothers inside the prison know how to worship. They know the word of God because that's all they have time to study. And they know how to worship. If the captive is free to raise his hands to the living God, how much more should we be able to raise our hands to the living God? I got to go to Folsom Prison, and that was amazing because that's one of the toughest prisons in the state. And anybody been to Folsom? For ministry or because of a couple of strikes? I just need to know where to go with this joke. I don't want somebody that doesn't feel comfortable out here and is like, I'll take a third strike and whoop me after the service. So, Folsom, the walls are, I think, 4 foot wide, and they're called gray stone. And you know why? Because they're made of stone and they're gray. It's the most dreary place I've ever been to. The walls, you go through one set of walls, and then you go to another checkpoint. And as they're checking us in, they said, the power is out. The entire prison complex, the power is out. So they let us in, and I went in with confidence. I had a team of people praying for me. The prison ministry was there with me. They're all prayed up. And I walked into that prison with confidence. They said, you guys can go in, and hopefully the power comes back on. And I walked into the first block, and there's three tiers of cells, and each cell there's a couple of men looking out. But they told me, treat the inmates with respect, and they'll respect you. So I walked in like George Jefferson. From the Jeffersons, I walked in, you know. And I'm pointing at the cells, hang in there, brother. God bless you, brother. I'm all confident. I'm prayed up. But then we get to the next area, and they hadn't secured that area yet. I saw four guards and about 50 inmates in the one area I'm supposed to walk through, and I started having like flashes. I saw all the prison movies, somebody gets shanked in every movie, and I'm like, oh, I'm about to get shanked for the Lord. Oh. I turned it from George Jefferson to an 1800 Catholic monk. I was like, oh, the blood of Jesus. They ended up making us leave because a half hour later, we were on the far end of Folsom in the corner in the Greystone prison. And they said, the power's not coming back on. You need to leave before it gets dark, because the only light in all of Folsom Prison was the sun. And as the sun was going down, I said, you need to leave. We won't be able to take care of you once it gets dark. So we're leaving and we pass the dining hall. And I said, why were we in the chapel? Why don't we do it in the dining hall where we can get more people when I come back? And they said, that's where Johnny Cash did his special. I said, yeah, but Johnny didn't tell the inmates about Jesus. I want to come back in the cafeteria and tell the inmates. So they had us back a month later. They said, if you can come on a Saturday, we could do it. So we were in there, and people, there was a handful of men that accepted Jesus as Savior, and it was just amazing to go back. I have a word on my heart for the church today. You want more comedy? Go on YouTube. It's there. It's free. And some of you have already heard all my jokes, except for the pandemic jokes, so you could hear them again on there. But I want to talk to the church. It's Valentine's Day. It's the day where everybody recognizes love. 41 years? That's a blessing. I did the state fair in North Dakota, 36 shows in 9 days, and every show I would ask who's been married the longest, and one couple had been married 60 years. And they came to four of my shows. And every time they would come, I would ask, who's been married the longest? And they would raise their hands. And finally, the last time they came, I said, sir, how'd you make it last 60 years? He said, we haven't spoke since Vietnam. But today is a day we celebrate love. I'm a grandpa now, so I love the little children. I have four grandkids now. I'm a real Mexican dad at 21, grandpa at 42. In between services, I got a text from my granddaughter. She's 14, and so that lets you know my age. She's 14, and she sent me a Happy Valentine's Day, Papa. My granddaughter is Japanese and Hawaiian from her mother's side, and they're Mormons. So my granddaughter goes door to door solving math problems. So the Japanese are good at math. If I have to explain these jokes, this is going to be a candlelight vigil by the time I'm... Today is the day we celebrate love, so I named this word of encouragement, expectations of love. Marriage is one of the great mysteries that God had. We take, where are you guys going? I can see you. You're leaving. She's like, don't look back. Don't look back like Sodom and Gomorrah. Don't look back. He's going to leave me salty if I look back. I have ADD, so when people get up and leave, I see it, and I take it personal. Bye, brother. Okay, God bless. There's going to be a newspaper tomorrow. Comedian beat up in the parking lot. Elderly Chola said, don't look back. Marriage is one of the great mysteries where God takes two individuals with different expectations of love and forms them into one. I still don't understand it, but I'm doing my best. There's a simple formula, though. Let's look at the definition of expectations. Do we have that definition? A strong belief that something will happen or be the case in the future. As an example, reality had not lived up to its expectations. God has expectations. I tried to get deep. I told Bishop I was trying to get deep this week, and it's simple. Because I was praying all week. I prayed for these services because I truly believe that God is in the business of healing families. Whether it's relationships, whether the husband and the wife, or the father and the son, or the mother and the daughter, God is in the business. That's where the enemy attacks. This couple over here, I saw them worshiping, and you two were holding hands. I said, the enemy cannot attack them. They worship together. I saw that, and I was like, yes. They held hands, and sister was bent over worshiping God, and her husband held her hands, and I was like, don't let go. She's going to fall. But no, because you did like a, you were like, I was like, I can't come back, but you, she was in it. But a couple that worships together, the devil ain't even going to try to mess with you. I'm not trying to put a bullseye on you because you keep doing that. Because what God is, the enemy can't be. Let me say that again. Where God is, the enemy cannot exist. Okay? And God inhabits the praises of his people. Everybody say that. God inhabits the praises of his people. It's when you look at, when you break it down and you start doing the, what do you call it, Bishop? Eschatology? When you break down the, when you define the words. I got into it this week. I was doing the Greek and the Hebrew, and I can't speak either one of those languages, so I got more confused. I failed Greek in Bible school. In the final, I got an F. And when I saw my grade, I told the teacher, that's ironic. I got a grade that does not exist in the Greek. Because there's no F in the Greek alphabet. And when I told her that, she laughed and said, well, you passed my chorus. You learned that much. That's a true story. Yes, brother. Oh, okay. Thank you, brother.
Oh, the blood of Jesus.
I saw the Vietnam veteran. I was like, man, do I look Chino today? Because this brother's having a flashback. Thank you, brother. God bless you. He was walking up here smooth. He was like, I was boxing with my dad one day. My dad was a minister, but before that, he was a thug. So he taught me how to box, and now my dad is about the age of 60, and I'm boxing with him in the kitchen at my mom and dad's house, and I threw a jab, and I stopped it short, and I said, you're slipping, old man. And then he told me his favorite move when he was a boxer was he liked to clinch and spin the guy, and when the guy was off balance, drop him. So I'm playing around with my dad. I clinched and I spun him towards the cabinets. And I was like, I got you, old man. You're slipping. He went, whoop. Inside his belt, all my life, I never knew my dad had a blade. He nodded his head and he kind of smooth like my brother right there. He was, whoop. He said, I taught you a lot, boy. I didn't teach you everything. So my brother was walking up here. I was like, man, he about to shank me. He heard the story. Where was I before? God has a simple formula. I can't count the new math, but I can count this math. God is love. We are created in his image. We are called to love. Period. It's that simple. You can get deep and try to be a theologist, do whatever you want, but the formula is simple. God is love. We're created in his image. Jesus said in John 13:34, so I give you a new commandment. Love each other just as much as I have loved you. You want to know how to be a good husband? God is love. I'm created in his image. We are created to love. You want to be a good wife? God is love. I'm created in his image. I am called to be love. Somebody's getting it. I love that brother. You want to go on the road with me? Because that voice sounds big, and I don't care if you're a Samoan midget. If you're with me, I'll be safe. You'd be like, this tall, amen. I'll be like, okay. But if you're raised in dysfunction, how do you function in a healthy relationship? If you're raised in an abusive abusive home, and God forbid, but if you were molested, how do you function healthy in love? If you're a man and you grew up without a father or without a godly father, how do you know how to worship? How do you know how to stand at an altar with your wife and worship the living God who has called you to be one? If you never watched a mom or a grandma cook the family recipes, how do you know how to carry on those traditions? Every area of our life, we follow examples. My favorite biblical character next to Jesus is David. David had a horrific example of leadership under Saul. Because when Saul was threatened with David, with the praise that David was receiving and seeing the anointing on David, what did Saul do? He sent David to the front. He figured, I'll kill him. In battle, he'll die. My threat is gone. Then years later, when David is king and David has a moral failure, what does David do? He follows the example of the one who had leadership over him. He sends his friend to the front, because David didn't only sin, he violated the man code. Hit on his homie's wife. I was going to say old lady, but my wife corrected me today when I made a comment. I said, old lady. I said, my old lady. And she said, I don't like old lady. I said, that's Chicano. You could be 25 and your wife is 25 and she's your old lady. She's like, I'm Puerto Rican. You call me old one more time, I'll cut you. The beautiful thing about David was that when David fell, and the prophet let him know, the Lord has shown me what you have done. When David knew and realized that the Lord knew, David didn't plead for his kingdom. David didn't plead for his wealth. David pled for his relationship. He said, Lord, don't take your spirit from me. David valued his relationship with God. That's why David was a man after God's own heart. I commented to Bishop in the first service. I leaned into him. I said, you must be proud of Corey. He said, oh, I am. See, there's an anointing on Corey, but that doesn't happen without godly parents setting an example. But if you're not exposed to that, how do you get there? How do you function healthy in a healthy relationship if you don't know about love? It's right here. The answer is right here. This is the greatest love story ever written. And in the genius that God is with his infinite wisdom, he writes a love story that starts in Genesis and ends in Revelation. And the first half of the book, he spends the whole time telling you about how he's going to send a Messiah. He's going to pay the price so that he could have a bride for his son. And then the second half of the book starts out with the Messiah arrives. And in a short time, the Messiah is nailed to the cross. And players, if you think you're romantic, let me tell you something. Jesus has the greatest pickup line in the history of mankind. He stretched his arm out on the cross and he said, will you marry me? That's the example of love that we need to have. To the whole world, will you marry me? I'll pay the price. With my blood, I'll pay the price so that we can have a relationship. Because the way David valued relationship with God, God values relationship with us individually. corporate praise is beautiful, but when you, it blows my mind to think that, wow, he did this for the whole church, for the whole world, but then he did it intimately for me. Someone else should get excited too. Amen. He did it for you. And then he spends the second half of the book telling people how to invite other people to the great wedding. And at the end of the book, he says, I'm coming back. I'm coming back for my church. I'm coming back for my bride. Get ready. I'm coming back for my bride. What a love story. Shakespeare could not write this book. Only God, in the orchestration of eternity, could he write a book like this that when you look at it from a romantic perspective, you go, wow, he loved me that much. Because there's no happenstance. The Bible wasn't, oh, you know, this happened and that happened. Oh, well, God changed his mind and did it, had to do it different. Before the foundations of time, the Lamb was slain. He planned it from the beginning that I want a bride that falls in love with me. I don't want a mail order bride. I don't want clones. I want someone that looks at me the way I look at them and says, I love you, God. And he says, I love you too, my son. I love you too, my daughter. What a story. And on that cross, with his arms stretched, he took away our hurts. Not just our sins. Yes, he died for our sins. But everything that would separate us from relationship with him, he took to the cross. Our hurts, our disappointments, unmet expectations. Marriages end because the man ain't who the wife thought he was. The woman doesn't meet his standards. Expectations aren't met, so failure comes. And when the family fails, it's a generational hurt. If you got it in your head that when these kids turn 18, I'm going to leave her because I just want something different, yeah, that's the lie of the enemy. It will affect your children. It will affect your grandchildren. Our oldest son, when we first remarried, he said, I want nothing to do with you. You ruined my childhood, and now you want to live happily ever after? It was a generational hurt. He refused to get married. He said, why? End up in divorce? It's a generational hurt. That's why the enemy attacks you with that. Marriage is hard. Divorce is harder. See, I'm not a family therapist. I'm not a psychologist. I'm just a witness to the living God in my life. And I could tell you what he's done. He restored me to my childhood sweetheart. I didn't meet Lorna when I was in my 20s. I met her when I was 10. She was 9. And she was looking at me, sending me all those notes in church. She never did it, but I was in my mind. I was like, she was doing that origami, will you? And I was like, yeah, one day. Give me time. I got to work it out. She's my childhood sweetheart. And when we divorced, I went on a journey that was not meant for me. But thank God for praying moms and praying dads. Amen. And at my worst, he never gave up on me because he valued his relationship with me. My God took the mess I made of my life with bad decisions, and he made it a message. He made it a message of restoration. He made it a message of healing. And I'm here to say nothing you've been through, and I would never encourage to protect the church. I'll tell you this right now. I would never tell somebody to go back to a man that beats you. I would tell you to run because he's not a man. A man that raises his hand to a woman is not a man. Unless he turns the hurts, because if that's all he knew as a child, that's what he will do as a man. And until he turns his life over to God and God changes his heart, other than that, I'd never tell somebody to go back to a dangerous situation. But if you have unmet expectations, I'm going to tell you something right now. When you give them to God, he takes those hurts away. He heals them. That's why the worship is so beautiful. The worship team is going to come up here in a minute, and we're going to worship some more. Because I believe in healing in our families. See, let me tell you where I'm at right now. I have a pastor friend, and twice he's prophesied over me. He said, Dennis, I see the Lord using you for healing. And then last Sunday, sitting in the middle of my home church, the worship was amazing. And the pastor goes up, my senior pastor goes up, and I'm in the middle of the church. And he goes, and he said, I feel the Spirit of God moving. And he goes, I feel a prophetic anointing right now. And he goes, is Dennis here? And when he said that, I raised my hand. He goes, Dennis, the Lord is showing me he's going to use you for healing in your comedy shows and in the services. And when he said that, it was impressed on my spirit. Yes, I believe in miracles, and I believe there are times when the Lord will use me for physical healings. I walked back by the back, and there was a young man bent over with his back. I laid hands on him and prayed for him, and I believe the Lord's going to heal him. But when the pastor gave that prophetic word over me, it was immediately impressed on me, healing in marriages. God wants to take you back to that first love. Amen. God is love. We're created in his image. We are called to love. But when there are unmet expectations, the hurts will leave open doors for the enemy to say, you're better off over there. You're better off right where you are when you give your hurts to God and allow him to heal you. Every area. And if you're here and you say, I'm not married, what's this got to do with me? God knows the desires of your heart. Worship him. And after you worship, then you give him your needs. Lord, I need that man. I need that woman in my life to share the love that you gave me with another person. Don't settle. I had some quotes about love. I think they're on the third slide. But I have to put my glasses on because I think I'm young, but I know I'm not. These are some quotes about love. To love and be loved is to feel the sun from both sides. I didn't even write the man's name down. I just put his initials. But that's to love and be loved means you have to feel the sun here on earth, but the other side of the sun is a God up in heaven. Being deeply loved by someone gives you strength, while loving someone deeply gives you courage. There are people that come from such dysfunction that it's impossible for them to function in a healthy relationship. They're afraid of being hurt. Who's been hurt in love and said, I'll never try that again? There's a lot of hands went up, by the way, if you're looking this way. A lot of hands went up. You're not alone. I love her, and that's the beginning and ending of everything. That's romantic, F. Scott Fitzgerald. I don't know what F stands for, but Scott Fitzgerald. I don't know if it's like Fred, and he didn't like Fred, but Freddie was good on that one. Love is friendship that has caught fire. Ann Landers, she was a sweetheart. There's nothing like the fire. When I read that yesterday, I was putting a few slides together. I said, man, that's all about the gospel. She might not have known it, but real love, when it's on fire, that's something from God. You don't marry someone you can live with. You marry someone you cannot live without. Years ago, in the middle of my crisis, I made a simple vow. I said, I'm going to serve the Lord and I'm going to golf. I don't want another woman ever. I'd been hurt. I was at the point where I never thought I would trust someone again. And my sister, driving home, my sister said, you know, Lauren is about to be single. I didn't even think. It came out before I thought. I said, I'd marry her in a heartbeat. The day before, don't even talk to me, woman. The next day when I heard the love of my life, that I saw that I couldn't live without her, live a healthy relationship, because she's the one that God made for me. That last one rung out with me. I said, I can't imagine living anymore without her. That's the only woman that I want. And God has delivered her 5 times from cancer now. October, she had surgery. 12 hours. And I walked around the National Institute of Health. The hospital already had closed, and my wife is still in surgery. And all I could say was, God, you made her for me. I didn't panic. I was scared, but I didn't panic because it was a 4-hour operation. But now they're 12 hours cutting on my wife. And I said, Lord, I know you got this, but I know she's the one you have for me. My life is back on track because you healed us, you restored us. My life, I could tell my kids, this is what a healthy Christian family looks like. What did it take for us to get back together? It took a willingness to forgive each other. This was my pickup line when I took her to breakfast one morning. I said, you want to fight? And she said, about what? I said, exactly. We got nothing to fight about. We let our past go so we could step into our future. Some of you have told your spouse, I forgive you. You don't divorce because you don't have the courage to move one way or the other. So you stay there, and every time something reminds you of that hurt, you lash out at him, you lash out at her. That is not of God. That is of the enemy trying to rob you of the joy that God wants to restore in your marriage. Every time somebody walks by that reminds you of the pain, you lash out at people. How about when we worship, you say, God, I give it to you. No take backs. Because when you give it to God, he already paid the price on the cross with his blood. Why are you holding on to the hurts that he bought? David danced before the Lord. And when he danced, he stripped himself of his royal garments. Some people try to say he was naked. He wasn't naked. He was in a linen ephod. That's how you say ephod? I say it in the Spanish, ephod. He didn't dance as king. He didn't dance as warrior. He didn't dance as giant killer. He danced as child before his father, and he worshiped God at the return of the ark. And you worship like this couple that worship. You got to be willing to say, God, I give you all my hurts so I can stand before you as child before my father and worship. And when you do that for your family, when you do that for your children, when you do that for your husband, when you do that for your future husband, when you do that for your wife, for your daughter, for your mom. Some people don't have relationships with the parents, and your parents are alive. What I would do to disagree with my mom right now. But she's dancing on the streets of gold, so I can't even let her get on my nerves. You think your mom gets on your nerves? Wait till she dies. You're going to wish she could call you up and bug you. It takes a willingness to say, Lord, I give this all to you. All the unmet expectations I give to you. God inhabits the praises of his people. And when you look at that and you break it down, I have a note right here. When God inhabits, it means enthroned. God is enthroned. Translation, using the word enthroned or sit. He sits amongst the praises of his people, drawn from the same concept where a man would sit as upon a king's throne or at the place of honor at a table, is akin to a dwelling place, a place of rest. So then the phrase means God inhabits, he rests in, he sits upon, he dwells within his people's songs and worship. You want healing in your family? Stand up. You want a new love in your relationship? Stand up. It takes a lot of courage to be the first one to say, I will stand for my marriage. Do not let the enemy rob you of the joy that the Lord wants you to have in your relationship. And as the worship team takes over, we're going to pray over each and every one of these families. Lord, we worship you for your majesty, for your sovereignty, because you're worthy. You've paid the price. You are love, and we are made to love. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray a hedge of protection over each and every one of these couples that has stood up, Lord, that had the courage to say, yes, we want God in our marriage. In the name of Jesus, Satan, get your hands off our families. You have no dominion. You have no authority. You are not welcome in any of these homes. In the name of Jesus, there is healing. In the name of Jesus, there is restoration. In the name of Jesus, miracles happen. I've seen it and I declare it over each and every one of these families. You're here and you say, I came because they said a comedian was going to joke around at church. But this love story, you've never taken part in this love story. You've never asked Jesus into your life. Or maybe you did, but you've strayed away. You say, man, I need to renew my vows with my Savior. Raise your hand right where you are. I would love to say a prayer over you. Hands all across, and that's the best part. That's what I come for. I could go to a comedy club and tell jokes, but when I come to a church and I see people raise their hands and say, I want a relationship with Jesus, someone else should get excited. It's not just a few people, someone else, because all of heaven is worshiping right now, and they're celebrating another name in the light, in the book of life. Corporately, let's, if you raise your hand, you say it from your heart. But as a church, we're going to say this prayer. Dear Jesus, I want a relationship with you. I believe you are the Son of God. I believe you died on the cross. Today, Jesus, I ask you into my heart. Forgive me of my sins. Today, I declare you my Savior. And I will do my best for the rest of my life to follow you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen and amen. Take it away, worship.
Stand to your feet this morning. Let's worship together for a minute here.
Make his face.
Come on, everybody. Let's worship God right now. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. We praise you. We worship you, God. You're worthy to be praised. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. We worship you, God. We praise you. We thank you, God, for your word. Thank you, God, for ministering to our family, to our church. This morning, we give you all the honor and glory, all the praise. Hallelujah. Father, thank you for allowing us to worship here together, to be here together on this first day of a new week. And because we gather together on this first day, my God, you will bless the rest. And so we thank you for that, God. We give you all the honor and glory, all the praise in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's give Dennis another round of applause this morning. Praise God. Amen. If you would like to give to his ministry, there will be a bucket up here at the altar. If you'd like to personally give to his ministry, you're welcome to do that. On your way out, you can just make your way to the altar and drop off a not love offering for him. We'd really appreciate that. May the Lord bless you and keep you. Have a wonderful week, and thank you for being with us this morning. God bless you, church. And those who are online, God bless you as well.